Long days and pleasant nights, fellow explorers. It is time to do the Q&A for my entire Elder Scrolls series, because we are closing it out. Well, not really. I never finish a series, really. I just put it on hiatus for a while. And that's always a sad time, but I did about twice as many Elder Scrolls videos than I did for any other series, so I think it was really good. And I think I entertained a lot of people with it, so I'm happy. I'm just doing a Q&A here. I had the upcoming Elder Scrolls Q&A video where I had people submit questions, and I'm just going to go down the list and answer as many as I can in about an hour. I apologize in advance if I don't get to your question, and let me just preface this by saying I am not an expert whatsoever on Elder Scrolls lore. I'm not even really an expert on the games. I've played all the games, but you know, not to the degree that many people out there have. So, you know, take anything I say with a grain of salt. But you know, I have been researching Elder Scrolls for the past 7 months or 6 months or whatever it is. So we'll see how it goes. Some of these questions may not pertain to Elder Scrolls at all, since I opened it up to anything, but I think most of them are. Incidentally, the first one is not. Even though in the description of that video I said I would ignore any question that's about a future series that I might do, Evan O'Keefe asks if I will do a series on the lore of The Witcher. So this is really, my channel is actually pretty strange, I think, compared to many channels. Many channels focus on a specific series, a specific franchise. There are Star Wars channels, there are Elder Scrolls channels, Tolkien channels, Game of Thrones channels, whatever. Song of Ice and Fire. My channel is kind of different because I want to do everything. I've already done Cthulhu Mythos, Tolkien, Star Wars, Elder Scrolls, some history stuff, and, you know, I really don't see an end in the future at this point for what I'd like to cover. So I decided a while ago that instead of me just choosing which series I'll cover next, basically I just wanted to pass the buck and be like, well, I don't decide what series I do next. You know, the fans decide. The viewers decide. So at the end of every series, I just post a couple polls. I take some viewer suggestions at that point. I incorporate it into the poll, and the polls decide what series I cover. So I really don't have any input, pretty much, on what I cover. This does not stop people every single day from asking me to cover a certain series, and that will never stop because I just can't get that info into everybody's head. You know, there's just no way to do that. So, yeah, I'm always going to get requests, and, you know, I could repeat myself every single time, but it just is what it is. So, yes, I probably will do The Witcher, since apparently people want it, and that's how it works. And it is a pretty interesting fantasy series, so I wouldn't mind covering it myself. That being said, I do reserve the right to veto a poll choice at some point, just if I'm really against it for one reason or another, but that hasn't come up yet. All right, so 7High5 on 3, or probably this one, says, any thoughts on how the woodland man Hermaeus Mora tricked humans out of their immortality, how he tried to trick them into becoming elves? So this is really like a single line in one of the in-game texts, I believe, that says that Hermamora, in his aspect or whatever of the woodland man, attempted to trick the Nords into becoming elves, Aldmeri. That's it. And I even tried to do a little research on this, and really no one is discussing it because there really isn't that much to discuss. Anything that you could say is really just speculative and sort of just, well, I think it worked like this. I think this tried to have, you tried to do this. Like, you know, that's not really what I do at all. I don't really do any speculation. I know a lot of channels do like what if type videos. That's something I'll never do. I try to really just stick to facts. So the fact of the matter is, he attempted to trick Nords into becoming elves. How that exactly works, why he tried to do that, I have no idea. It's a very interesting tidbit of lore, I suppose. Because a lot of times in this type of fantasy fiction, even in Elder Scrolls, you know, it's more the other way, tricking immortal entities into giving up their immortality. And so tricking Nords into becoming elves, I don't know how it works. I'd be interested in finding out. The Horned Kings asks, what do you think happened to Manimarco after he became a god? So, Manimarco was an individual. I believe he was Altmer. And he basically started dabbling in the darker magics. This is just off of my memory here. And he became a lich, I believe. This great necromancer became a lich. And I think he appears in Elder Scrolls Online. I don't play ESO, so I can't really say too much. And I think he gets killed in ESO, but like his spirit sort of lingers on because he's a lich or something like that. And so then in the third era, during the events of Elder Scrolls II Daggerfall, the warp in the West, he is one of the factions that you can potentially give the Numidium to, or the control of the Numidium to. And so since all of those endings are canon, they all happened within the Dragonbreak, he used the Numidium to do something. I don't know if it's ever factually stated that he became a god, but that was like his intention or something like that. I don't know. I'm hazy on Daggerfall, to be honest. I think it's popularly accepted that he became a god. Now, interestingly, you encounter him in Oblivion, or you encounter a guy going by the name of Manimarco. And you can kill him. And so that raises the question of, well, if he became a god, why is he here and you can kill him and that's just the end of it? And I guess, you know, there's multiple theories here. The one I like is that he did become a god. Whatever that exactly entails within Elder Scrolls is certainly a subject for debate. Since you really never, he's not worshipped really much. You don't encounter really many shrines to Manimarco, the King of Worms, or anything like that. And so the guy in Oblivion is just another necromancer that took on the name of Manimarco as an homage or whatever. And so he's just a guy. He's just another necromancer, and you just kill him, and that's the end of it. The other theory that I've heard that obviously is a little bit more trippy is that he both became a god and he didn't become a god. Again, sort of Dragon Break craziness, where, you know, his god form ascended, but his mortal form continued on. That's a little bit, you know, trickier to digest. And you'd think that the, you know, this powerful lich that you encounter, that sort of lived on as a mortal, into the Oblivion Crisis, would be a bit more powerful than the guy you actually encounter in Oblivion. So, yeah, so there's some debate about that. There's discussions. It's really sort of a question of what is godhood? Did he even become a god? You know, using the Numidium, that is a whole different ball of worms. And it's really hard to say. Muhammad Smith asks, we know how Alessia became Dragonblood via Akatosh, but how did Mirik become Dragonborn? You know, there's been numerous Dragonborns throughout Elder Scrolls, although it's a fairly recent concept within the series, for the most part. And so most of them are just sort of born into it through this sort of genealogy of this covenant with Akatosh and things like that. I guess Mirik sort of he had some sort of covenant or some sort of agreement with Hermaeus Mora, who knows quite a bit. And to be honest, I don't really perfectly understand it myself, how it all comes together. But I guess you could look at it as some sort of agreement with Hermaeus Mora and working with him and blah 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 blah. That's really some of the stuff that I least understand as far as just the core lore. So I'm sorry that I can't properly answer that. What future episodes in the Elder Scrolls series are you going to do, and what series will you do going forward? So again, future episodes in the Elder Scrolls series. At this point, there's one video left before I finish or before I move on the Lesser Daedra. That'll come out in a few days. As a side note, when I do a series from now on, at this point, the order in which I produce the episodes is decided on Patreon polls. So all Patreon backers get to vote on polls every week to decide the next video I do. And so I sort of decide like the actual topics I want to discuss, but they decide the order in which it happens. And sometimes I'll ask for suggestions for what topics to discuss and things like that. So if you're interested for any future series in sort of supporting the channel and helping decide the order of videos and things like that, $1 a month on Patreon goes a long way, especially compared to sort of the ad revenue of YouTube. I don't like to push Patreon or anything like that, but there you have it. Luke Skywalker the Second asks, who do you think is the greatest and most powerful Daedra? Well, most powerful is Jigalag slash Sheogorath. Jigalag is really the only entity that the Daedric princes were like, all right, I guess we got to work together for this one. That practically never really happens. But since Jigalag was cursed into Sheogorath, like, he retained all his power. He's still the most powerful as Sheogorath. It's just he doesn't properly utilize it. If he did, obviously it would be a big threat. Beyond that, there's arguments for a lot of different Daedric princes for which is the most powerful, which is sort of a banal sort of discussion. But there's arguments for Nocturnal, since she's some people like she's supposed to be like the first Daedra, whatever that means. I don't know why if that specifically lends her the most power. Hermaeus Mora is often discussed in that concept since he knows many things. I don't know if you can really say he knows everything, but he does know quite a bit, and knowledge is power. Mehrunes Dagon, Molag Bal are often discussed. I think they're among the most ambitious, but the fact that they continually fail to the point of other Daedric princes don't really step in and be like, well, we gotta put a stop to this whole Molag Bal thing that's going on Tamriel. It's just like they'll sort it out. So yeah, I would say Sheogorath at this point in time. I'd really like to see more of Jigalag in a future game. He was absent from Skyrim for whatever reason, but I'd like to see him have some sort of presence. I think maybe they don't want to just rehash the Shivering Isles, but just have it take place on Tamriel instead. So maybe they're sort of discussing and figuring out what exactly they want to do with Jigalag, since he is the most powerful. Mr. Tuckman, 22. What do you think happened to the Dwemer? this, I mean, I've gotten many comments on that video saying this happened to them, you're wrong, this happened to them, it's not a mystery, this happened to them. There's something about them becoming the skin of the Numidium, and I'd really be just lying if I told you I understood all that. There is the concept of them zero summing. I'll tell you what I'd like to think. I couldn't tell you if it's true, obviously, and it probably isn't likely, but I'd really like to just assume they went forward in time. That might be the lamest option, but sending them forward in time, or some sort of time messery with the Dwemer really interests me, since they were clearly like the most technologically advanced of the races, and there's all sorts of sort of confusion about when exactly they showed up. The Chimer arrived in Rezdane and the Dwemer were already there or something like that. So maybe they've already been to the future and they came back, and then it's sort of like this time paradox, or who knows what. I would like some sort of resolution like that. We may never know. Dwemer might be just be the eternal mystery of the series, and that's fine. It's good for a series to have some mystery. As for the whole, sort of metaphysical skin of Numidium, zero sum, Kim, all that kind of stuff, I honestly can't get into it too much. It's sort of the reason I didn't do a video on all that kind of stuff. PK asked, do you think we'll ever see more of the world except Tamriel? Maybe a game that centers around a war with peoples from Akavir. So I got several questions on Akavir. I posted this upcoming video before I posted the Akavir video, so some of the stuff was answered there. My personal request, or my personal desire for a future game would be one set on Akavir. And I know that's very ambitious. It's like four different climates, really. It's different civilizations. It's really like a massive place to center an entire game around. But I would personally prefer it if they really took their time, which they apparently are. They just spent years crafting this one incredible game rather than, just pushing out, oh, here's the Elsewhere game, and here's the Black Marsh game, and here's the Hammerfell game, and blah blah blah. And some of those regions also interest me, don't get me wrong. But I really want them to craft just a massive, ambitious, incredible game. And I really like the whole concept of Akavir. I think it's sort of distinction from Tamriel is part of what makes it so interesting and unique. And bringing in, having some sort of invasion, I guess. Yeah, probably that would be the most likely to happen, would be some sort of invasion of the Empire, the Cyrodiilic Empire, from Tamriel into Akavir, and you're just sort of caught up in the midst of that. And it allows for you to join different factions. You can work with the Akavir, you can work with the monkey people, you can work with the cats, you can work with the Empire, all sorts of different stuff. That would mean my choice. I don't know if it'll ever happen. I think most people don't even know about Akavir. And you have the masses that are just like, I want a game in Valenwood and blah blah blah. And so, who knows what'll actually happen. Tiger Cat asks, explain Skyrim's or all of Tamriel governmental systems, like the Jarls, the High King, and its traditions. And to be honest, the Aenon Legion replied to that comment and gave a pretty good description of how it works in Skyrim. Skyrim is in a lot of ways very militaristic. They've been through many battles. They've been invaded multiple times. They themselves have been the invaders to plenty of other places. So a lot of it is based around military structure, both defensively. You know, many of their cities are really just like big forts. And so, yeah, they have the Jarl system. Each of the big holds, the big forts of Skyrim, are governed by one guy, a Jarl, and they are all loyal to the one High King. And that has been consistent for quite a while in Skyrim. And they have had as much trouble as any with assassinations and things like that. But I believe in the events of the game Skyrim, there's not currently a High King, so they're in a bit of turmoil for many reasons. It's really just a messy time for the Nords. So Ulfric Stormcloak might become the High King, possibly. Otherwise, you know, it depends on what exactly they decide happens within the game as canon, and we might not know. It could be a High Queen, I guess. We'll see. So, yeah, I mean, I could just read the replied comment to sort of explain a lot of it, but that's a lengthy topic. All right, Zenric Dragonheart asks, what is your opinion on the missing god Lorcan or Lorcan? Jeez. Yeah, another complicated topic, which is why people are asking about this kind of stuff. So, I mean, I've looked into this and I've tried to wrap my head around all of it, and there's really like two levels of Elder Scrolls lore. There's the surface lore, which is pretty much everything that I've discussed. You know, the various peoples of Tamriel, the Daedric princes, different sort of civilizations and artifacts and peoples and events, things like that that have, you know, clearly defined for the most part. And then there's the Michael Kirkbride lore, the next step, which is really just for the nerdiest of nerds. And I say that in a nice way. And so that's where you get the stuff like Kim and the Godhood and the Towers and the Shezareen and Lorcan and Akatosh and Akka and, you know, all these sorts of different concepts that are really almost not present at all, barely present in the actual series itself. And it's really just out of game discussions and non-canon texts that really sort of start exploring this. I like the idea of Lorcan or the idea of Tiber Septim being an aspect of Lorcan. Talos, you know, being mantling Lorcan and all that kind of stuff. It's an interesting, there's a lot of connections between that. Lorcan is sort of a very divisive figure within the peoples of Tamriel, with, you know, the men, humans really liking Lorcan and praising him for being sort of their savior and creator, and the elves despising Lorcan for tricking their ancestors out of their immortality and things like that. And then you have Talos come in, ascend to godhood and all that, and humans love Talos. You know, he's the god of mankind, and elves despise him as heresy and all that. So there's a lot of connections between that. There's the idea that Akatosh is sort of the mirror figure of Lorcan, with Akatosh representing time and Lorcan representing space, and so they're like two sides of the same coin or something like that, and space-time, and, you know, you can go into all sorts of these different concepts. And again, I try to stay away from that. I really just try to stick to facts. That's what I do. And really, there's just not that many pure, just clear facts about Lorcan and a lot of the other things. People will say there is. People will say it's very clear cut. If it was clear cut, there would not be this many discussions about it. That's just the way it is. Big Maripo, I'm sorry. He asked, where would I like the next Elder Scrolls game to be set? And I answered that, Akavir, but where do you think it will be set? That's a different question. Man. You really, I mean, yeah, you sort of have to think about the mass appeal at this point. The last two games have been set in places very human. And you have to sort of wonder if that's done on purpose to just sort of get this mass appeal. If they set it in Black Marsh, it's like, well, there's these lizard people everywhere, and it's like, I wouldn't mind it set in Black Marsh, don't get me wrong, but I wonder how much of that goes into their decision making. Maybe not at all. So it could be Hammerfell, but yeah, it could be. A lot of it is desert, and desert usually isn't that interesting of a setting. I know there's other parts of Hammerfell, so it's a possibility. A lot of the other regions that haven't been used are fairly one note. Hammerfell is mostly desert. Valenwood is pretty much all forest. I could see elsewhere, to be honest. It is, you have sort of the jungle region, you have the desert region, so you get a bit of a split. A lot of people like the Khajiit. I think there's some interesting potential there. I think there's a lot of arguments to be made for a bunch of different regions. So I don't think I could say with certainty where I think it'll be absolutely set. Dovahkiira the Great asks, who's my favorite Daedric Lord? Well, as many of you might know, I'm a huge fan of Cthulhu Mythos, so I gotta go with Hermaeus Mora. Pretty much his entire pretty much everything about him, at least in the in Skyrim Dragonborn and all that, is very Lovecraftian based. Both he himself, his realm, forbidden knowledge, all that kind of stuff, the seekers and lurkers based on sort of Starspawn and Deep Ones and all that. It's all very Lovecraftian. So I'm very into that. I love homages to Lovecraft and all that, so I have to go with him. Beyond that, I don't know, maybe Clavicus Vile, I guess. I think he's a popular one. He's got a good sense of humor. And next, Lomara asks, who is worse, Molag Bal or Mehrunes Dagon? I assume by worse you mean worse for like the people of Tamriel. And I guess I would have to say Molag Bal. I mean, Mehrunes Dagon will kill you. Molag Bal will probably do worse things. I mean, he's known as the King of Rape. I mean, that's not a good title for most people. You don't want to be known as that. I guess I would say that. I mean, they're both pretty bad, but I would go for Molag Bal personally to be worse. But neither one of them is that successful, so it is what it is. Patty Garakti asks, what was my first Elder Scrolls game? It was Morrowind on the original Xbox. My friend introduced it to me. And for a long while, I was very confused by that game. Because up to that point, most of my RPG experience was like old school Super Nintendo stuff, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasies, There were some other PlayStation 1 RPGs I remember playing, but I can't quite remember what they're called. Legend of Dragoon or something like that. So, you know, it was a lot of very fairly linear stuff, involved a lot of grinding, which I love grinding in RPGs, things like that. And then, you know, I play Morrowind and it's like I can go anywhere, I can do whatever I want. What is this? What am I doing? It was very like open-ended and confused me for quite a while. So a lot of my memories of playing Morrowind back in the day were just doing like strange character concepts, and I remember glitching a bunch and all sorts of wild things. One of my most memorable times, I created an orc character named Duragrabul, I think, and in Balmora there's a house. It says like Duragrabul's house. So I went in there, I killed the real Duragrabul, and I just took over his house. I lived there. And from then on, I just put my weapons like aside and I just lived out like a pacifist lifestyle. I like just went around and I picked up like ingredients and I went farming and, you know, things like that. And I was just like, I'm Duragrabul. Living in Balmora, a peaceful life. And it's like no one knows the dark secret that I'm not actually the real Duragrabul. Yeah, I remember that. And it's great that, you know, the Elder Scrolls series allows you to just do stuff like that. I played a bunch of Morrowind. I actually never beat it back in the day. I only beat it recently just because I spent so much time messing around and I never knew where to go. I have some fond memories of Morrowind. Ungulates asks, what happens when things die? Creatures have souls, but I don't really know where they go. Yeah, so it seems that many of the Daedric princes have influence over where souls go. We have many references to specific Daedric princes taking souls into their realms of oblivion, whether to reward them for their service or to punish them. I think Elder Scrolls Online goes into this a little bit, the concept of a vestige and things like that. You really don't want to have your soul taken by Molag Bal. Souls can be trapped, of course. If you've played Elder Scrolls for any length of time, you've probably experienced soul gems and soul trapping and things like that. So you can trap souls as like a, not a physical object, but as like an actual thing you can hold inside of a gem. And they can be used for all sorts of purposes. I don't know exactly what happens to the soul. I guess I'm just reading here. It says that when a mortal soul is trapped in a soul gem, it's sent to the Soul Cairn, or Soul Karn, sorry, for all eternity, which is kind of an interesting concept. To be honest, I don't even remember this. But yeah, I guess Soul Karn is where all trapped souls of mortals go once they're trapped. And so that's not even controlled by the Daedric princes. It's controlled by these entities called the Ideal Masters. So that's certainly some info, but where just a regular mortal soul goes, where a regular mortal soul goes, if it's not been trapped, I don't know if that's exactly answered, as far as I'm aware. Souls are, you know, very real things within Elder Scrolls. They can be manipulated, they can be trapped, they can be used for all sorts of purposes, they can be taken to Daedric, you know, the realms of oblivion by Daedric princes. But there has to be some place that they go where they are, you know, they just find rest, I would assume. Yeah, it's an interesting concept. Many fantasy series really don't delve into that sort of concept of like a of an afterlife. Tolkien had his concepts of the elven afterlife, but where humans went when they died, that was meant to be sort of vague. Madeline Ionut asks, what is my favorite fictional universe? Well, if you count the Cthulhu mythos as a fictional universe, I guess that would be one of my favorites. I'm a huge fan of Star Wars, so I won't be apologetic about that. I'm actually a pretty big fan of Warcraft. So I would like to see that win a poll at some point. I'm sure it will. The Diablo universe is actually pretty interesting. Like for a long time, I just sort of just played the games and whatever, and I just enjoyed the games. But around the time of Diablo 3, which is actually when they started doing a lot of retconning, and they're like, "Wait, we should really have like a story here." They put out a book. I don't remember what it was called, but they put out like a big book of lores for Diablo 3, and I read through that thing. It was very interesting. They've had a bunch of novels related to Diablo. That's a pretty interesting universe, I think. About these wars between heaven and hell and the Nephilim and all these kind of concepts. Pretty interesting. I'm a big fan of the Stormlight Archive, the Stormlight Archives, and so that universe is very interesting to me. I'd love to be able to make a series about that down the road. But overall, I'm just a pretty big nerd. I like a lot of different fantasy, fictional universes, science fiction, all sorts of stuff. So most of the things that are going to come up as part of the exploring series, what gets voted on and things like that, I'm generally a big fan of. Project Zero asks some questions about Akavir that I believe are all answered in my video about what happened to the expeditionary force to Akavir and the different races. He asked about the Black Harbor, which I don't think I mentioned, but there's really not much to say. It was just the harbor that they used on Akavir, I believe. Oh gosh, I'm terrible at these. My pronunciation, I'm sure you all know, is not very good. A Sarah Wan. What is my favorite playable and non-playable race? I guess my favorite playable race would probably be the Khajiit, I guess. I'm a very big cat person, so that's definitely a part of it. In my recent playthroughs, where I played through all five games, I played as an Altmer for every game. So that's got to be up there. I mean, each race has its own sort of unique nature. There are parts that I like about all the playable races. I actually didn't know almost anything about Red Guards until I worked on that video for the Red Guards, and I learned a bunch of things. They're very interesting, to be honest. I really like Red Guards now. They have really their own lore. They have their own, like, the Hunding and stuff that I didn't even go into is very interesting. They've been through a lot of crap, and they've persevered. I like the Red Guards quite a bit. My favorite non-playable race would probably be the Dwemer, just because it really adds sort of the science fiction, part of the science fiction element to the Elder Scrolls, and that's part of what makes it really interesting. Just a Scottish bloke asked, what do you think would happen if all the Daedric princes went to war with each other? That's likely to never happen. That's really like, I could really see somebody just writing like a 200-page fan fiction about that or something like that. I think it would probably be devastating to Nirn. Since they're all very Most of them are either, you know, very involved or very interested in Nern and Tamriel and the mortals and things like that. And so I think that the people of Tamriel would be a big element in the war. They would be used for all sorts of things, and I don't think it would be pretty. I don't think many of the Daedric princes have our best interests at heart, so it would be pretty rough. Sheogorath would make it out alive, I know that. Well, they'd all make it out alive, but you get what I mean. He would do all right, I think. Let's see. Tyler Carhart asks, what's my favorite faction in the Elder Scrolls? Boy, there's a lot of factions. And like each game sort of has its own factions, and it's like, well, do you want me to go back to Daggerfall or Arena? Do you want me to go back to Arena and answer the factions from that game, which is plenty of them? Or do you want like Elder Scrolls Online factions? Do you want me to say like the Ebonheart Pact or something like that? It's sort of a broad question. I like the Blades. I think the Blades are pretty good. The companions, the whole werewolf aspect of the companions is really interesting, and how they've just sort of kept things going since the ancient days of the 500 companions and all that. Dark Brotherhood, sure, they get a little. I mean, some of the things in Elder Scrolls are a little stained, I suppose, by memes. But within the games, I think Dark Brotherhood is pretty interesting. Yeah. There's so many factions, it's really hard to say, and each game is its own entity of a conglomeration of factions. Quodirium asks, how are you? Well, I'm pretty good. The channel is doing really well, surprisingly. I'm excited about the future, the next series we're gonna do, whatever it is. And Monster Hunter World comes out in a few hours, so I couldn't be more excited. Thanks for asking. Bill Joel, sorry, I almost called him Billy Joel, asks, do you think Talos is actually ascended to godhood? Or do you believe in the elven mindset a man cannot be a divine? Yes, I do believe Talos has ascended to godhood. I think there's multiple pieces of evidence that point to this. And I think that was just there, but I think that was Bethesda's intention that he is some form of a god. I won't go into this whole, you know, the Chezzereen and the mantling of Lorcan and all these sorts of the Oversoul or whatever, all these concepts. But Tiber Septim Talos is a very important figure, I think, in their lore. And yeah, I'm pretty sure he's become a god. Emerson Kerstick asks, why the Dark Souls universe is unlikely to be explored. So in the description, I said that I want to explore every series except for maybe Dark Souls. Dark Souls, well, really, the Soulsborne series is my favorite series of video games. No competition, really. And the reason that I'm not that interested in doing a series on it is because I think Vatividya does such a great job. I've been a subscriber to his for years, and I just don't think that I can really improve upon what he's done. I know that I have my own format, and I know plenty of people would be interested in having me do it. And if it does win a poll at some point, I probably would do it. But you know, when I first started the Cthulhu Mythos series way back in the beginning, it was because I saw some other videos and I thought I could do a better job. I thought that I could put something on the internet that was worth being there. Whereas with Dark Souls, I don't know. It seems like it's already exists. But plenty of people told me when I started doing Elder Scrolls that other channels have already done this and why do this and blah blah blah. And, you know, I think enough people have enjoyed my Elder Scrolls series, so yeah, it's certainly possible I'll do the Souls universe at some point. What country am I from? I am American. Big Bob asks, do you think the simplification of the traditional RPG format prevalent in the Elder Scrolls games will become even more apparent in the sixth installment? I think he's asking if the games will become more simple over time. Yes. I think that's just the nature of the beast for many series, as they just sort of cater to a wider audience, which isn't in itself a bad thing. Aside from, you know, the elitists of many hobbies and things like that, generally you want to bring in more people to the fold as possible. You know, I'm a big board gamer, and I'm a big RPG player, tabletop RPGs, and those communities are usually really good about trying to bring in as many people to the hobby as possible. Now, the difference there is that with RPGs, with board games, you have so many options about complexity and things like that. With the Elder Scrolls games, we don't have any control over that. They're just making the games, and especially with Skyrim being so massively popular, you know, the next game in the series is going to be arguably just as, if not more popular when it comes out, and they're going to want to cater to the, you know, they're not going to introduce all these complicated RPG mechanisms that are going to alienate some group of their fan base. Ideally, I'd like to see it really, like, you know, really just blow people away. Like, where you're not even really thinking about the mechanisms within the game. You're just so immersed within the world and with what you're doing in the game. And it doesn't really matter that maybe it is more simple than Morrowind was or something like that. It's just immersive and amazing. But I would probably guess that, yes, it's going to continue becoming more simple, which is a good and a bad thing, depending on who you are. What is my favorite game in the series and why? My favorite game in the series is Skyrim. And I know some people will be upset by that. When I sit down and play a game, and I'm just playing a game, all I care about is the gameplay. That's it. Okay. When I'm normally playing a game, I'm not a lore guy. As funny as that may sound, I don't care about the story, I don't care about the lore, I will skip cutscenes, whatever. I'm just there to play a game because that's what I enjoy. And Skyrim, modded, mind you, I played modded on PC with, you know, hundreds of mods. Not like the funny, weird meme mods or anything, like actual gameplay depth mods and things like that. Skyrim is the most flexible and the most interesting to me from a gameplay standpoint. That's just the way it is. Just because it's the, you know, it's the newest, it's the most developed, it's the most expansive as far as capabilities. And I fully expect that the next game in the series will be even more so. You know, the capabilities of that game will be even more than Skyrim, and that could easily become my favorite. Now, when I'm not playing the game and when I'm really digesting lore and looking at all these different concepts and the story and all these things, when I'm not playing the game, then I would probably say Morrowind has the best lore. So from a lore standpoint, Morrowind is the most interesting, but from just pure gameplay, if I'm going to sit down and just play something, it would be Skyrim. Mostly because of mod support and mod capabilities. How much time we got left here? About 10 minutes. Super Duper Nice Guy asked, what's the lore behind Mike the Liar? So I know there's plenty of fan theories about this guy and how he's like an immortal because he's been in all these different games, especially because he's in Elder Scrolls Online, which takes place like 1,000 years or something like that, 2,000 years, whatever, before the other game. So he's in all these games across hundreds of years, and so people have these theories that he's some big immortal and things like that, but honestly, it's just like a family. They're just descendants that call themselves Mike. They're all named Mike, that's it, and they're all pretty much similar. There's a line in Skyrim where he just said that his father was also called Mike, and his father was also called Mike. So it's just, you know, something they put in all their games because people are expecting it now. Just the whole Mike thing. But yeah, I really don't think he's immortal or any sort of deity in disguise or anything like that. I think it's just a funny, odd family of Khajiits. Angel Dalton asks, what's are my favorite Elder Scrolls theories? Boy. I don't know how many I really know enough to discuss. That's really the problem. There might be another question about this that I'm going to go into. But the Elder Scrolls is somewhat unique as far as fictional series to discuss. As a lore creator, when I'm looking into the lore of a series and I'm really researching it and all these different things, articles, and I do read discussions about topics and things like that, and you know, firsthand sources, whatever, what I'm looking for are facts. That's it. I'm looking for canon, hard facts, because then I can just say, boom, here it is, here's where they say it, this is canon, this is the source, this is a fact. And Elder Scrolls is sort of unique because so much of the lore is based around biases and faulty sources and vague, you know, authors and all these different things, and it's so much about that between like elven influence and human influence, and you have dragon breaks that mess with sources and all sorts of stuff like that. And so as just a pure, as a lore creator, I don't care for that just because it just makes it more difficult, and I don't go into many sort or I don't go into many theories at all like that, because I'm just inviting just arguments. You know, then I'm just, people are going to come in and say, where did you hear this theory? That's completely ridiculous. This is my theory, and this is more accurate because I said so. So just as a lore video creator, I don't like the theories. I don't like going into it or anything like that. Now, as a fan of the Elder Scrolls, I like all that stuff. I really do. I think that's part of what makes Elder Scrolls so unique and interesting. And so it's this sort of, you know, dichotomy of part of me really does not want any of that sort of theory and bias and all that sort of, you know, lack of pure information, and then part of me really does like it. But since all I've been doing for the most part is just researching facts for the Elder Scrolls, I really don't know that many theories that I could discuss. Just off the top of my head, I guess the theories surrounding the Dwemer are probably some of the most interesting to me personally, because I really like the Dwemer. And so if you hang around the TES lore subreddit for a while, you're going to hear some crazy discussions, some crazy theories. I mean, those people really have dived into the lore, and I mean, I've read a bunch of posts on that subreddit, and every time I'm just like, you know, wow. It just astonishes me, these discussions that people get into, and they throw out terms, and I'm like, I've never heard this term before, and it's like, oh yeah, it was mentioned in this one non-canon source, probably written by Michael Kirkbride. So, yeah. I like the Dwemer theories, though, and I enjoy that discourse. Blade Run 101 asks, do the Daedra have influence over the other continents of Nirn as they do Tamriel? We have no source that's true. We really have no information. Any sort of topic of Akavir, they don't mention any sort of Daedric princes or anything like that. As we learn about Akavir in the future or other continents, maybe, you know, it's certainly possible they have their own names for all these entities. The theory that I've heard is that Tamriel is the most important continent on Nern. And that's why it's the biggest continent on Nern, because it is the most important, that's why it is the focus of everything. And so everything happens on Tamriel just because it's been decided by whatever force that is the most important. So I would probably say yes, they do have influence on other continents. It's just we don't hear about it. Brody Beaton asks, do I want Elder Scrolls 6 to continue exploring and maybe resolving the conflict between the Alt-Mehri Dominion and the Imperial Empire, or something completely new? I want something completely new. I want it to be set maybe, 50 years in the future, past Skyrim, 100 years in the future, something like that. That has been resolved in some way. I'm very curious to see how they resolve it. But I don't want to play another game in the midst of that conflict. And maybe that's just me, but we've had how many years now where Skyrim has been the latest game, and we've had this conflict has been sort of a principal thing for all this time. I don't want to wait. I don't want to spend another 7 years or whatever, and that's still the main conflict, or one of the main conflicts. I want that to be done. I want them to go on to something completely new. Just because I think, Tamriel, Nern, whatever is this vast landscape of possibilities. And so just focusing on that again, it would be kind of lame in my opinion. Let's see. Haglin J asked if I've considered doing any more Middle Earth lore videos. I have. I want to go back to a bunch of series. The problem is, when I get into a series, that's my mindset. That's my focus. I'm just, okay, this week I'm doing this on Elder Scrolls. This week I'm doing this on Elder Scrolls. And I'm just, from 1 week to the next, I'm just researching topics and blah, blah, blah. And so to just suddenly switch gears and completely forget about Daedra, forget about Dwemer, forget about Khajiit and Nords and stuff, like just completely switch gears. And oh yeah, I remember remember hobbits and dwarves and Gondor and Rohan and the Nazgul and all these kinds of, it's such a big shift. So I'm always hesitant to go to switch back to a series like that. And it's a bummer because I always want to. But it's the intention that I occasionally dip back into older series. But I'm always just so focused, tunnel vision, whatever, on my current series. So, I mean, I could just at this point take, like a month and just do some Middle Earth videos, which would make plenty of people happy, but it would upset plenty of other people. So, I'm never gonna please anybody, and so I don't, I just do what I do and it works out. So, my intention, yes, there will be more Middle Earth videos at some point. I don't know when. That's all I can say. Let's see. There was a question I wanted to get to since we're at an hour. There's one other question I wanted to answer. Oh, yeah, this one. It was actually a few questions, but they were good. B Fitzy asks, how did I come up with the names Exploring Series and Mang Plays, Cooks, etc.? So the Exploring Series, honestly, I don't really remember. It was just the first thing that came to mind. Just when I was trying to name the series, I was like, exploring, I'm exploring. The Exploring Series, done. I think I like my dad's like, why don't you call it the Discovery Series? And I'm like, we're not really discovering it. People are looking, they're looking at this because they've already discovered it. They're looking to explore it. And it's really not the best title, I understand. Because I don't go that in depth, and so I think some people might be off put that I, he's not really exploring it. He's just sort of doing a surface examination. But I think it works. It's kind of stuck. I'm not going to change it now, and it's fine. One of my friends suggested like 5 minute lore or something like that when I was first doing the Cthulhu Mythos. And I was just immediately against that because I didn't want to shackle myself. I didn't want to limit to myself to just 5 minutes. That seemed way too restrictive. At the time when I was doing Cthulhu Mythos, that was about the average. So it would have worked, but I think at the time I was like, this can go beyond that, I think. So yeah, it stuck and it just worked. Mang, which is usually my online alias, that came from Dark Age of Camelot way back in the day when I was just, I clicked the random name generator or whatever when you made a character and it popped up Mang and I was like, that's fine. It was originally spelled M-A-N-N-G. And then I think I made a second character and I was like, I still like Mang, but I can't use the same name. So I changed it to M-A-N-G-G. And I think I played that character more, so it just stuck. And it was usually spelled, it was usually placed right next to each other, so it would be Mang Mang, and that just sort of stuck. And what are your thoughts on Skyrim being ported to the Switch, and what are your thoughts on how Bethesda gets a magical pass with their ports from everything? They do not get a magical pass. I don't know of any company that gets more jokes directed at it for ports. Like, there is no bigger joke than the fact that Skyrim is on every system. Like, that is one of the most consistent jokes within the gaming community. So I don't know if they get a magical pass. It's sort of just a logical business thing, you know, that Skyrim is an incredibly successful game. And so it's going to be on every platform, just like Minecraft. Minecraft is insanely popular, and it's on everything. That's just how things are done. Skyrim on the Switch, I think I own a Switch. I would never buy Skyrim on it, just because, you know, PC mods, all that sort of stuff is just what I prefer. I don't value portability that much. But I think at this point they've pretty much milked it dry, I think, with Skyrim ports. So I'm hoping that's kind of it, and we're really looking to the future for Elder Scrolls 6 at this point. I guess that's about it. Again, there are a bunch of other questions. I'm sorry I didn't get to them. A lot of the questions are just about these sort of metaphysical concepts that I didn't go into, and I don't think I could really properly answer in this sort of unscripted format. So, Milo asks, where do I find all this information and piece it together? So, when I start working on a script for a video, I use two sources to sort of just get the basis. I use the UESP, which is the unofficial Elder Scrolls pages, and I also use the Elder Scrolls Wiki. So these are just sort of for my first read through, for me to just get the basic rundown, breakdown, summary of the topic that I want to discuss. And usually those sources, those two sites provide all their sources for their information from the games. So I will always read through in-game texts, if I'm going to be using information from them. It's a little more annoying when they just cite, you know, like, oh, this source is from dialogue in Skyrim. And it's like, well, crap, you know, that's harder to track down. So I usually make quite a bit of use out of YouTube videos of people's playthroughs of different games to find the actual bits of dialogue. Hopefully I find a video where they don't just skip through the dialogue or talk over it or something like that. I will use the TES lore subreddit if I'm looking into a bit more of a complicated subject and I'd like to hear some discussion about it. And that usually about does it. So most of the actual information that I cover comes from in-game text or in-game dialogue. Occasionally, you know, some of it will come from out-of-game, non-canon sources written on the like the Imperial Library and stuff like that. I really try not to use that too much because, again, it's not canon. But sometimes it provides enough interesting flavor to a video that I'll throw it in there. But I usually try to preface it by saying like supposedly or, you know, one source apparently, you know, stuff like that. I don't know if people care when I say stuff like that, but that's just for my own peace of mind. But yeah, most of it comes from a lot of in-game sources, so that's all as canon as I can make it. All right, I guess that about wraps up the Q&A. Thank you all for watching the whole thing. Again, if you came to the channel through Elder Scrolls and you're sad that I am, you know, stopping the Elder Scrolls videos, I apologize. It's just the nature of the channel that I've created. I hope that you stick around, maybe check out some things that I do in the future. When I do come back to Elder Scrolls at some point, you know, I hope that you'll still be there to check it out. But, it's just how I wanted to do things. I want to get to every series, and so I'm just going to continually disappoint people as I move on. And that's just how it is. That's about it. All right. Thanks for watching, and keep exploring.